Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Over the course of this Lent, we have been reflecting upon different spiritual practices. Practices of prayer, fasting, meditation, generosity and stillness. Spiritual practices help us to draw closer and grow a deeper relationship with God. They also help us to respond to our amazing, wonderful God, showing us how to live out what he teaches us. And so spiritual practices are helpful for our inner spiritual life and for living as followers and disciples of Christ who long to see God's kingdom reign on earth as it is in heaven. Today it is Palm Sunday, a day when we remember and reflect upon Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he rode into the city, travelling on a donkey to the shouts of praise and worship from the crowd that gathered around him. Just as we have been looking at our internal and external transformation by the Holy Spirit with spiritual practices, so we'll be thinking on that as we look at the events of Palm Sunday. As we read the crowd's reactions to Jesus, let us consider our own reactions to him and how this changes the way we live our lives. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on a donkey is recorded by all four Gospels, and each of them have a slightly different take on how they on what they emphasise. But we're going to be looking at the version recorded in Matthew, in Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed the cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So, when Jesus instructed his disciples, he told them to go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. We are not told if Jesus had already prearranged with the owner of the donkeys to use them, or if the Holy Spirit convinced the owner in that moment to give the donkey up without arrangement. I often imagine that the donkey's owner had no clue about any of this and was rather surprised when their donkeys had been commandeered by the disciples on behalf of Jesus. But whether Jesus had pre-arranged collection of the donkeys or not, I like what is said in verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. It's such a simple, innocuous statement, but actually one that speaks powerfully of obedience. It is a statement that suggests that the disciples did not question, quibble, or complain. They just did as Jesus instructed them. Simple as that. I wonder if the disciples wondered why Jesus wanted a donkey. The Bible gives the impression that Jesus walked everywhere on foot, so surely the disciples would wonder why he suddenly wanted a donkey. Jesus didn't really give any further explanations. I don't know about you, but I probably would have wanted more details about what was going on. What was it for? Why were we getting it? Was the owner going to be happy with us taking it? But they didn't question him. They didn't demand to know the plan. They just went and did as Jesus instructed. Now, of course, I'm not trying to paint the disciples as perfect, because there are many times recorded in the Bible where the disciples didn't do what Jesus asked. But in this case, the disciples followed Jesus' words. We don't always display obedience when God instructs us to do something. Sometimes God gives us simple instructions, like go to the village and bring the donkey and her colt. And yet, sometimes God's directions are a lot more involved or hard for us to follow. But we should have that same simple, obedient heart, regardless of how God is guiding us. Do we respond to Jesus with obedience? God calls us to follow him in good times and bad, when it seems easy and when it is difficult. Will we choose to follow God at all times, or will we just choose to be following him whenever it is comfortable for us? God calls us to follow him so that we can show the world who he is, so that we can introduce people to the amazing God of the universe, so that we can see glimpses of God's kingdom on earth. Is this something we want? And if so, are we willing to do whatever God says to see this become reality in the places around us? How are we living out this calling to be obedient to God? And what does obedience look like in our lives? What has God been saying to you about how he wants you to live? What does he say about what he wants you to do? How does he want you to think? What does he want you to say? Are you responding to his call upon your life? Sometimes it's hard to be obedient because sometimes we don't believe that God is talking to us. We think we have misheard or are hearing our own thoughts. And so, rightly, we test what we hear to see if it comes from God. But sometimes our testing, our checking, is more out of reluctance and unwillingness to obey rather than doubt or confusion. There are sometimes we hear God and we know he is speaking to us, but we don't want to obey. When God speaks to you, will you choose to listen? Take a moment to ask God what he wants you to do this moment, this day, this week. And when he responds, be prepared to obey. Once the disciples had brought the donkey to Jesus, they took off their cloaks and placed them on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. We are told that a very large crowd also spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road too. Let's look at these actions for a moment. These people chose to willingly take off their own cloaks and lie them down either on a smelly donkey or on a dusty road to be stepped on. Now I'm assuming this would have made them pretty filthy and perhaps even damaged them. The ground was dusty, and so even just lying their cloaks on the ground would have made it dirty. And then they had the donkeys and crowds of people walking over them. Their willingness to do this demonstrates a willingness to sacrifice their material things for the sake of Jesus. Bear in mind that the disciples, and probably most of the people in the mixed crowd of people that gathered, would not have been rich. They wouldn't have owned a vast amount of clothing, having only a simple and functional clothing collection. We probably can't truly imagine what it might have been like for them, as we are so used to having the convenience of clothing stores or even supermarkets with clothing aisles to pick up whatever we need whenever we need it. But they would only have had a few articles of clothing that they would wear repeatedly before washing. And of course, to wash clothing meant manual washing. They didn't have washing machines that could do all the work. So for these people to lay their cloaks on the ground or on the donkey would have been a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for them, and it was also a sign of submission. In the culture of the time, throwing cloaks on the ground was a way of paying homage and respect fit for a king. It was a sign that they were choosing to submit to Jesus as king. How do we submit to Jesus? We may not be in a position to throw our cloaks on the ground for Jesus to walk over, but he does call us to sacrifice and submit to him. How do we show our submission to Jesus as Lord and King? Is our submission truly a sacrificial one that gives God all the glory he is due? Do we actually suffer in any way because of our decision to follow Jesus? Do we have to go out of our way to follow him? Or is it just convenient, comfortable, a habit? How can we live transformed lives because we are following our King and our Saviour? When we live in sacrificial submission to God, we choose to say no to ourselves and our own needs, and instead say yes to God. Then God uses our submission to show others his generous love and gracious mercy. The crowds not only laid their cloaks and palm branches on the road for Jesus to walk over, they also shouted out in worship to Jesus, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Hosanna is a Hebrew word which means, "O save," which became an expression of praise. These words of praise seem to be a reference to the Psalms, particularly Psalms 113 to 118, also known as the Hallel, which are said during festive occasions, as they are psalms that express faith in and gratitude for God's gracious provision and providence. These psalms recognise that God is the only one who can save them. For the crowds to use it of Jesus is to show that the people in the crowd believe that Jesus was sent by God to save them. They also worship Jesus by referring to him with the messianic title, Son of David. This again shows that at this moment, the crowd seem to realise that Jesus is someone special who will come to save them, although it is likely that they thought Jesus would save them from the Roman Empire. The crowds didn't truly know who they were honouring or why. They recognised that Jesus was deserving of worship, but they didn't understand why, which of course is why they were so quick to change their attitude towards him when their cries of praise turned to murderous yells little more than a few days later. But we have the benefit of hindsight, and we are able to see more about who Jesus is and what he was doing as he entered Jerusalem. We know that he was going to suffer torture and death so that we can be saved from our own mistakes and wrongdoings. With that knowledge, how do we worship and honour God? Do we give him the glory that he deserves? Do we worship him with every breath we have? Because of course, worship is not just with words. It's not just with songs. We often say we're coming to a time of worship, when actually we mean we're coming to a time of sung worship. Because worship is something we should be doing with our whole lives. It is an attitude that recognises that God is our Saviour and our Lord, and he's the only one who is entitled to take any kingly place in our lives. When we worship, we are making a choice to recognise that God takes priority. So how are we worshipping Jesus in our lives? In verse 10, it tells us that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" People recognised that Jesus was something special because of the worship that was being given to him. Do people recognise that Jesus is someone special in our own lives? Do they recognise that we worship the one true God, our Lord and Saviour? Do we want to honour him with the worship he is due so that other people recognise who he is and that they too are stirred? The expectations of the people in the crowds meant that they worshipped him with one breath, and then later went on to cry, "Crucify him." with another breath. Their worship was only temporary because it was based on their own expectations about what should happen and how God should save them. They had their own beliefs about who God is and were trying to force him to act in the way that they wanted. They wanted to be released from living under the rule of the Roman Empire. So they expected God's Messiah to come as a military figure, a conquering hero who would overthrow the Romans. But Jesus knew that the most important thing for them to be saved from was themselves and their own sin. When Jesus didn't seem to match up to their beliefs, they turned away from him, crying out, "Crucify him!" Their worship was false because they were worshipping their own image of what they wanted. Do we have the right image of God? Do we worship him as Lord, or do we try and fit him into our own expectations and desires? Sometimes we have expectations of God and we get frustrated or even angry when he doesn't seem to meet our expectations. It is so easy to try and put God in a box and confine him to our thoughts and plans. But God is much, much too big to be placed in any box. Sometimes we limit God without even realizing it. For example, we subconsciously make decisions and plans that do not count for the intervention of God. We must continually challenge ourselves about how we see God and whether we are putting any restraints on our idea of who he is. How do we recognize him in his true place in our lives? Unfortunately, we will always to some extent have a limited idea of God and what he can do, because he is so vast that our minds cannot comprehend who he is in full. But if we continue to open ourselves to learning from him, he will reveal what we need to know. We must never stop seeking to know more of God and be in deeper relationship with him. If we stop seeking God, seeking to learn from him and about him, we will always limit him so much. How can we ensure that we keep our eyes on God instead of our own expectations? As we draw to the end of this reflection, do not stop reflecting for yourself upon who God is and what he has done for us. Allow this Palm Sunday to challenge you about how you respond to Jesus and what that response might transform in the way you live your life. Will we continue to live our lives and to have our thoughts, our words, our actions call out praises and worship to God? Or will we be like the crowd and allow our words of Hosanna turn to yells of Crucify? How will you carry the person of Jesus in your heart this week as you go about your daily life? How will the Holy Spirit shine out in the things you say and do? How do we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord over every aspect of our lives? Can we live in such a way that our whole community is stirred and asks, "Who is this?" This is Jesus, who we want to glorify in everything we do, so that his name is made known to all those around us. Let's live like that. Let's pray. God, I pray that we can learn to live lives that really honour you, that worship you, that obey you, that give you the glory that you are due. Help our lives to witness to who you are, so that in all we do, we reflect your glory, Lord. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen.